Hello, everyone. I'm John Melke, and this is Parkside Today. I'm joined by Christopher Adams, Chief Technical Officer for Dominion Properties. A few weeks ago, Christopher was part of an exciting announcement about plans for the former Zahn's department store building on Monument Square in downtown Racine. Christopher, welcome to Parkside Today.
Thanks, John.
So my first question, how did you become aware of the building?
About a year and a half ago, I had a realtor friend of mine who kept talking about how he felt that downtown Racine had a lot of potential and was quite a unique Main Street community.
Mm-hmm.
And I resisted for a while because I was busy and whatnot, and finally one day he said, "Hey, jump in the car." And so we went down there, and I had not been down to Racine for many years. I was a young child when the last time I was there, and really fell in love with it. It is what I feel is the last lake front, meaning Lake Michigan front, commercial area in Wisconsin that is not been redeveloped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Specific to the building itself, once you come to downtown Racine, you take a look at the building. What was it about the building that kind of piqued your interest?
The biggest thing I remember is this downtown square reminded me a lot of the squares in the smaller cities that we've traveled through in Europe, and I just remember thinking, wow, this is a beautiful building that's right on the square in the heart of downtown. Why is it vacant? You know, why isn't something being done with this?
Right. Right. And you know, it's as a person who remembers riding the elevator as a kid through Zahn's and looking at the stuff in the Boy Scout department and all that good stuff. It always kind of stumped me as to why, as the downtown continued to grow and to kind of get revitalized over the years, why that particular building didn't, and that was kind of a little bit of a thing I often wondered about, and certainly glad to see that that there's plans for it. Tell me about kind of the first time you get a chance to actually walk inside the building. I'm assuming that, and maybe the assumption is correct or not, that this isn't the first time that working with your company that you've had a chance to look at maybe a building that has been underutilized for quite some time. What was your impression when you got a chance to get inside?
It took a little bit of time to get a hold of the owner, and the building wasn't for sale, really. There was no sign on it. So when we got a hold of the owner and he let us in, I was just amazed at the fact that the building had been mostly renovated in the late 90s into what was going to be a children's museum.
Oh, okay.
And you know, all of the lead and asbestos were taken out. The windows were replaced. There was a newer roof on it. Its mechanicals coming into the building were new. And I thought, boy, this is much more than just an old building.
Mm.
This building it would be easy to pick up where the Children's Museum left off.
Okay.
And finish the project.
Okay, so not one of these cases where you walk in and think, "Oh my gosh, why didn't someone do a better job of taking care of this over the years?"
No, quite the opposite. I've walked into many old buildings and was pleasantly surprised with the condition of the interior. And you know, the fact is that the Zahn store has been closed for 38 years, and if the failed attempt at the museum had not taken place, the windows wouldn't have been replaced and the roof wouldn't have been put on. So God only knows what kind of condition this building would have been in after almost 40 years with nothing being done to it.
Right, right. So one of the key parts of this project is your company's desire, vision, mission to have the building, which will plan to become a boutique hotel, to be LEED certified. And I know enough about LEED certified things to be dangerous, so if I use the wrong terminology, I'll apologize right up front. But when did that become part of the project?
Even before the project, we take a look at every redevelopment potential project with LEED certification in mind. It's just a core value that our company has, and it's something that we automatically include in the projects.
Okay. And for people that are not familiar with LEED, why is that important? What's the value to making sure that the new hotel project is you're shooting for gold and possibly even platinum, correct?
Correct. Yes. So predominantly LEED certification has to do with energy savings.
Okay.
And the ultimate goal in any building would be if the building could actually put out enough energy to be supporting other buildings. That's almost impossible.
Mm-hmm.
So the goal is to have a building that is what they call net zero, meaning there's really no natural gas, no electricity needed, no water, no sewer needed for a particular building.
Mm-hmm.
That too is very difficult. Passive homes sometimes can get to net zero, but for a commercial property like this, the LEED certification it basically ensures that the building is built correctly. It's something that a lot of people don't realize. They figure it's just the energy savings, but it's the methods on how they build the building to get it to be very energy efficient. And then, of course, all of the energy savings and the efficiencies that you get for the years to come after the construction is over.
Mm-hmm. Now, a couple of the stories that that have appeared in the Journal Times talking about the geothermal wells. What is that? What's a geothermal well?
A geothermal well is basically they drill a well that's 300-400 feet deep. In an urban setting like this, you go vertical wells. If you have a lot of land, you're out in the country, you can actually do geothermal fields that are horizontal, but you need a lot of land.
Mm.
But what the wells are doing is that the Earth's crust is about 55 to 56 degrees all of the time, every day, morning, noon, and night, 365.
Mm-hmm.
And what it's doing is it's pulling the BTUs out of the ground, meaning like heat,
uh-huh,
out of the ground in the wintertime, and utilizing that heat in the building.
Okay.
And then in the summertime, it's actually taking the heat from the building and putting it back into the ground.
Okay.
So you are utilizing the very consistent temperature of the Earth's crust to heat and cool the building. It's extraordinarily efficient.
Okay. Now, you talked at the announcement about the fact that, and if when I get off the rails here, get me back on the rails, but that you can't do enough geothermal wells to do the entire building, but you can do enough to support part of the building. And is that just a matter of, you know, the land that you have available there to be able to do that?
Yes. So we're able to put in about 24 wells on the site that we have available, which is the vacant parcel next to the building.
Okay.
And that is going to heat and cool the lower level, which is a half of the building, first floor, and the fifth floor bar. If we wanted to try to get floors 2, 3, and 4, which are the rooms, the floors with the hotel rooms on them, we would need a substantial portion of Monument Square in order to achieve that, which is not not something that we are willing to do, and City of Racine is certainly not going to want the whole square torn up for these wells.
Sure, sure. So then the portion of the building that you're not utilizing the geothermal, you mentioned in the announcement that still using some fairly sophisticated heating and cooling systems. Can you talk about that at all?
Sure. The heating and cooling system for those particular floors is going to be a system that is called variable flow refrigerant. And basically, if you've ever seen one of those like Mitsubishi or Sanyo kind of through the wall systems, they call them a split system, where the condenser is down on the ground and you've got a line set up and it goes through the wall of the outer wall of the,
right.
of the building.
Yes.
And then there's a head up there. That is that technology. And those systems are unbelievably efficient, almost as efficient as the geothermal system.
Wow. And talk a little bit, Christopher, if you can, and I just want to jump in here. We're talking with Christopher Adams, who is Chief Technical Officer for Dominion Properties, and Dominion Properties is at the forefront of the revitalization of the former Zahn's department store building in downtown Racine. And Christopher, we appreciate you taking time to be with us today. Maybe off of the technical side a little bit and on to kind of maybe the emotional side. You know, we talked about the fact that the building has been, you know, underutilized or not utilized at all for close to 40 years. And since the time that the project announcement has been made, have you, you know, heard stories or whatever from people about what this means to the city of Racine?
I have spent quite a bit of time in Racine and really made it a point to talk to folks all around downtown for a couple of reasons. Basically, we're trying to program what the restaurant, cafe, should it be a cafe, should it be a restaurant on the first floor, what kind of food should we serve, what are people looking for there, and also just what the feel or response from the residents of Racine will be to have this hotel. And it has been overwhelmingly positive. It's amazing that everybody just has great things to say about the project and are really enthusiastic that it's going to be bringing in a lot of people from downtown, from the suburbs, also from out of state, know, and with the nature of the higher end hotel, there's going to be travelers that are coming in from the Frank Lloyd Wright tour.
Oh,
you know, Racine is a great stop on that one.
Sure.
But also, you know, corporate travelers from Foxconn and SC Johnson, Modine, that type of thing. And so there's going to be a great exposure for downtown Racine for visitors and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So the city of Racine residents that I've talked to are extraordinarily optimistic about the project.
Great.
Which is wonderful.
And you're increasing the size of the building by utilizing the vacant lot right to the south of the current building. How much space does that add to the project, the new portion?
Yeah, the between the new addition to the south and the fifth floor addition on the existing building, it basically doubles the size.
Wow.
It's from about 40 to 80,000 square feet.
And do you, when your company looks at adding that the new portion of the building, specifically the area kind of to the south, how do you take into consideration, I'm assuming you're taking into consideration that the new part should kind of look like it combines nicely with the old part. Is that a correct assumption?
Yes. We're going for historic tax credits on the 1925 Zahn building.
Okay.
And if it were large enough to accommodate the number of rooms that we needed to get out of the project, which, you know, boutique hotels really need to be a minimum of 80 rooms to be efficient in their operation. This one is at 80.
Mm-hmm.
We would have just done the old historic building.
Mm-hmm.
But because we needed more room for the actual guest rooms, the U.S. Department of Interior guidelines for historic restoration are very, very specific that the addition has to be subservient to the historic building. It can't be taller. It can't be more ornate. They really want the emphasis to be on, look, we just restored a beautiful historic building.
Right, right. And talk to me a little bit about the fifth floor. I thought that was really interesting in the announcement that where the kind of bar lounge area would be placed, and the fact that they originally there was supposed to be a fifth floor, correct?
Yes, the original blueprints for the Zahn's department store do mark down right on the roof plan that it says additional fifth floor or future fifth floor. So we know that the building is structurally able to take that weight. Also, our structural engineers are confirming that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we thought, well, let's put a fifth floor on it. Now, again, with the National Park Service, if you do add onto the top of the building, it has to not be within view of a pedestrian that is within a block or two. So
right.
We wedding caked it in so that it goes away when you're approaching the building and it strictly looks like it's original 1925 building. So we have constraints on how big that space can be. But
mm-hmm.
when you get on the roof and you take a look at the views up there, they're so spectacular that we just really needed to be able to utilize that space. And the best way is to let everybody enjoy it. So the rooftop bar and lounge will be open to the public almost every day.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone can go up there and enjoy a drink and some food and the beautiful views.
Wow. Well, yeah, I can't wait to give that a try. I'm very much looking forward to that.
The other thing about that particular space that I really like is, we have all these sustainable elements to our multifamilies up in Milwaukee here on the east side.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we take pictures of the roof, the solar panels and the green roof, or the geothermal loops, the way they come into the building. But nothing is visible to our residents or even a guest unless I, get somebody up on the roof, which is dangerous and whatnot. Where here, when you get off the elevator and you take a look out of these big, beautiful windows, you're going to see green roof, you're going to see solar panels, you're going to see wind turbines, you're going to see sustainable elements of the building at work.
Wow, incredible. You talked a little bit about your multifamily properties in Milwaukee. You mentioned again at the announcement that this is kind of a little bit of a new area for Dominion properties getting into the hotel or hospitality area. What opportunities / challenges does that bring to the project, being something new for Dominion?
Well, the one thing that I do know is that I don't know how to run a hotel. we're real estate guys, we're multifamily guys. A hotel is got a ton more moving parts than a multifamily.
Right.
But at the end of the day, it's still residential in nature. But we knew that we needed to have a operator for the hotel that was very good at what they were doing, you know, seasoned company, and that could basically shepherd us through the you know, furnishing of it and the pre-opening and the opening and then run it. And so we engaged a operator that has like 54 boutique hotels across the United States that they operate for owners and are very good at it.
Good. Well, it's important to know what you do know and what you don't know, correct?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. So another story that appeared in the Journal Times and our show, Christopher, will air early January. So kind of talking about things that happened a few weeks ago. But the story talks about the Racine Works ordinance and getting Racine residents employed at the project. And the fact that it is a hotel gives you the opportunity to maybe have some of those folks employed at the hotel versus employed during the construction, where you may need a different talents or a different skill set. How does the Racine Works ordinance, how does that impact the project, or what things does that allow you to do, or maybe kind of, I don't want to say force, but that you have to do those things. You kind of dictates uh-huh. what you do.
Sure. The ordinance states that roughly 20% of the work hours worked on the project need to be done by Racine residents, and it's designed to help train Racine residents in the trades.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem that we have with this high tech of a building, it's complicated because it's a hotel. It's also very complicated because it's sustainable, and it's complicated because it includes a lot of technology that the mayor's Smart Cities Initiative is interested in doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough to find enough people that live in Racine that have all of those skills.
Sure.
So that is a partnership that we've worked out with the city on. And basically, it is a learning experience for all involved in that we took a look at, okay, well, what can we meet here? And so, you know, we didn't want to have to exempt out a bunch of hours just because of the high-tech nature of the building. So we talked to our builder, and whatever hours that they can't commit to for construction,
mm-hmm.
then we basically are saying, well, because it's a hotel, then we will pledge that we will employ folks, City of Racine residents, as the in the working hotel.
Sure.
as employees to make up those what would be normally exempt hours.
Right.
So, and there's going to be a lot of training and a lot of employees that work at the hotel, and we're. You know, it's not just construction jobs that we're going to be tapping into. There's culinary jobs and housekeeping and all kinds of things. So we're really excited about being able to engage the city of Racine in so many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Racine Works program is really, I think, a really good way of doing that, and it's nice that the city of Racine mayor and city administrator were so flexible in how we're going to implement that.
Mm-hmm. It seems that Racine is committed, or Corey Mason's vision as mayor of Racine is maintaining the historic look appearance of the downtown area. Is that a correct statement?
Well, I mean, I don't want to put words into his mouth, but it does appear that he has a strong feelings on certainly the look of downtown,
mm-hmm.
and the materials that are used You know, some of these new multifamilies in particular that are going up have such cheap exteriors on them that they're really not designed to last very long.
Oh.
And anything that we're going to be building in Racine, the mayor wants to make sure that it's quality built and it has lasting exterior materials if the city is going to be involved with the project from a financial level.
Sure, sure. We're talking with Christopher Adams, Chief Technical Officer with Dominion Properties, talking about the former Zahn's department store building and the boutique hotel project that's on the horizon. We've got just a few minutes left here in the program. Last night, and again talking here in December, the Racine City Council approved some financial incentives for the project to move forward. So I'm sure you're pleased with that. What else is on the to-do list for the project right now for Dominion?
Right now we are in the process of going through our detailed design work with the architects and the engineers to making sure that we're refining what's the restaurant or cafe is, you know, what is it going to be? How is it going to look? What's the location of it? And really refining down how many bathrooms we need per code and all that kind of stuff. And then Hunzinger, our builder, is pricing it to make sure that we have our budget in order. And then putting together all the different pieces of the equity stack as far as our equity and the historic tax credits and other things, the city money, and then taking it to our lenders and getting a commitment. So the very end of the design phase of the project is going to be the close of financing for the project. And once that is done, then we start construction.
Right. And if that goes the way you're planning it to go, it's a spring, summer 21 potentially having the project complete at this point?
Yes, it'll take about 13 months to build, and we're hoping to get started April 1st, May 1st at the latest.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that would fall in that time frame.
Yeah. Well, it certainly is an interesting project. I can't wait to see it evolve and unfold in the coming months. We've been talking with Christopher Adams, Chief Technical Officer for Dominion Properties. Dominion Properties is going to be revitalizing the former Zahn's department store building downtown Racine on Monument Square. Christopher, thank you very much for the time today, and maybe you'll agree to come back and talk to us a little bit more once the project gets underway.
Thank you so much, John, and I would love to. I'd love to talk about sustainability.
Good. You've been listening to Parkside Today. I'm John Melke. To hear past editions of Parkside Today, please go to uwp.edu/parksidetoday. Thanks for listening, everyone.